Good afternoon, everybody. I'm David Adlington. I head up JP Morgan's MedTech and Services franchise in London. It's my pleasure to introduce Stefan Sturm, CEO of Fresenius SE. The breakout session is just across the hall afterwards. Thanks.
Thank you, David. Thank you all for joining. Your interest in Fresenius is much appreciated, as always. The year is hardly over. I have a glimpse of what our fourth quarter performance looked like. It's too early to shed specific news on that, but it is safe to say that 2017 has been another record year for Fresenius. We had guided to revenue growth of 15 to 17%. We had guided to earnings growth, currency adjusted, between 19 and 21%. We were at 20% growth after 9 months. Again, it's too early to give you specific news, but we have made our guidance in all of the years ever since I joined the company, not that I had a specific contribution to that, but I don't see why that shouldn't be different in 2017. We have used this record performance, we have used this position of strength to further build and to solidify our business for the next decade. And given that we are fond of all of the four businesses within the group, we have strengthened each and every one of them. Most notably, we have acquired for our Fresenius Kabi business Merck KGaA's biosimilars portfolio, and we've entered into a merger agreement with Akorn here in the U.S. That is on everybody's mind, and I will come back to it and try and preempt some of the questions that you're going to have in a minute. Already in late 2016, we announced the acquisition of Quirón Salud, the leading... Could you have that conversation outside the room, please? Thank you very much. Or why don't you come in? It's interesting stuff here. Thank you. We already announced the acquisition of the leading Spanish hospitals company, Quirón Salud, end of 2016, and we closed that transaction in early 2017. We were the largest European hospital operator already before. We are now the leading European hospital operator with an even larger margin. As far as Fresenius Medical Care is concerned, the company is here separately. I do encourage you to seek a conversation with Rhys Powell, the CEO. We closed a gap in our product setup by agreeing the acquisition of NxStage to strengthen our setup in home dialysis, in particular in home hemodialysis. And also, as far as our smallest business, Vamed, is concerned, we continue to strengthen our exposure to the much more stable and reliable service business by entering into an acquisition of a post-acute clinic as well as a business that is into sterilization of surgical equipment. What is on everybody's mind is our Kabi business, and there specifically the Kabi business in injectable generics in North America. And everybody seems to be thinking that heaven is about to fall on the earth. I met an old acquaintance here in the room, and I think that was pretty much the same situation about 10 years ago when we got into the business, when we acquired APP in 2008, and everybody was accusing us of having done a very dumb transaction at the peak of the market, and that in particular Indian, Asian manufacturers were about to invade the U.S. market. And yes, we were off to a very rocky, bumpy start. The first four or five quarters were underperforming relative to our expectations. But look at what we've built over time, and as of now, we are the number two in the market, probably neck to neck with the market leader at formidable margins. The suspicion out there is because of these formidable margins, there's got to be an end to that story. Because of consolidation among our customers, where right now we're now down to only three remaining GPOs, there has got to be more price pressure. The suspicion is that just because prices are under meaningful pressure, I will readily admit that, in the oral solids generic space, the very same has to become true in liquid injectables. I would argue that that is not the case. I would argue that at least not necessarily that is the case. I would caution everybody to do a direct read across from oral solids to liquid injectables. First and foremost, because the manufacturing skills required, the capital intensity required is completely different. Barriers to entry are substantially higher, but also because the distribution channel is very different, and we don't go into retail pharmacies. We sell via GPOs into acute care hospitals. And we have enjoyed these margin levels for quite a while, yes, to quite some degree, driven, helped by drug shortage benefits, where we, and I need to touch wood here, have been a key beneficiary of other competitors being unable to supply product at the time when they were needed. But even now, when the number of drugs on the FDA's shortage list has halved, we continue to enjoy very strong market shares, and we continue to see a price erosion that is in line with our historical experience. Year in, year out, ever since we entered into that business, the average price erosion across our portfolio has been in the low to very low single digits. And that is also the case in 2017. People have asked about excessive prices and whether there would be government intervention. We have pointed out that the average price point in our injectables portfolio in North America is $5, and that on that basis we rather view ourselves as the solution to the issue rather than the creators. Low to very low single-digit price erosion. That has also been the case in 2017. And given that the GPO consolidation is now 2 years behind us, given that I fail to see a catalyst for more pronounced price erosion going forward, that is also my assumption for 2018. Regardless, as I said at the outset, we have used our position of strength in 2017 to solidify, to build, to protect our position for the next decade. We believe that with the consolidation among the GPOs that we're dealing with, the best strategy to counter their arguably grown negotiating stance is also to become ever more relevant by broadening and deepening our product offering. And that is the background to us entering into a merger agreement with Akorn. The aim is to be a one-stop shop as far as liquid injectable generics are concerned. A hospital needs it, we got it, and that is completely. And given the number of drugs that Akorn will bring to us, the number of overlapping products that the FTC will ask us to dispose of is minimal. So by the end of last year, we had already identified a buyer to take those products off us. We had entered into an agreement with that party. We have made the submission to the FTC. The FTC is investigating the potency of that potential buyer. We do expect a resolution of that process anytime soon. What is on all our shareholders' minds, what is also on my mind, is the underperformance of Aecon relative to the expectations in the second and in the third quarter of 2017. I'm not happy about that at all. I have not beaten around the bush on that. At the same time, I would argue it is just a confirmation of our strategic hypothesis that critical mass, that more consolidation is going to be a recipe for success in this part of the business. And smaller, less diversified players in this industry will find it increasingly difficult to find some success here. And therefore, yes, it is a strategic transaction. We will revisit our expectation for 2018 once we have closed the transaction. We will update it, not necessarily downgrade it, and bear with us, and we're going to get you a much more reliable view on the performance in 2018, in all likelihood when we talk about our full year numbers and the guidance for the group as a whole in the end of February of this year. Against the backdrop of the GPO consolidation, the near-term goal was to end up with a near-complete injectables offering. In the medium to long term, what we're aspiring to is to also have a very comprehensive product offering in the adjacent areas. We have already introduced our infusion pump in the US. It's the market-leading pump in Europe, where we're now adding a few features to make it more compatible with U.S. demand. Given a history in that market segment, we do believe that there is demand and quite a good position for us as far as a sturdy, reliable pump is concerned. We have introduced our parenteral nutrition product, the three-chamber bag. It is a revolutionary product as far as U.S. medical practice is concerned. We are in the process of convincing key opinion leaders of the merits of this product, and we are very confident that just as in China, where by now it is our dominating product, we're also going to make major inroads here in the U.S. market. We have, in early 15, acquired the pre-filled syringe business from Becton Dickinson, part of our strategy to add additional value in our underlying injectable generics. There is going to be a growing niche as far as convenience products surrounding injectables is concerned. Last but certainly not least, we entered into the acquisition of the biosimilars portfolio of Merck KGaA. We are completely convinced that regulation, over and above the much more accommodative stance that we have seen over the last 12 to 24 months, is going to be much more accommodating also going forward to make these proven, very potent drugs available to larger parts of the patient population. Anything else would be a shame, would be a crime to those patients in need. We believe that we have the right cost culture, that we have the right skill set, that we have the right access to the acute care hospitals to play a very meaningful role in the biosimilar space. What we do find in the market is that the concept of a bundled transaction where our GPO customers are looking for ever more comprehensive tenders is turning increasingly into a reality. And so with an ever broader product setup, we will be in a much better position to meet the needs of our GPO customers also going forward. As far as our hospitals business is concerned, I would like to remind you that what we acquired, namely the leading Spanish and the second largest European hospital company, is the result of a very recent merger where the two market leaders in Spain got together. So when we acquired them, they were still in the middle of the process of reaping intra-Spanish synergy benefits. It has been the aim right from the beginning to take a fairly gentle approach to integration. Quirón Salud by now is really only financially integrated. We have not gone about cross-border synergies in earnest. What we have done is to align our purchasing portfolios. What clearly we have done is we've compared notes on purchasing terms and conditions, and where we are purchasing the very same product, we have clearly asked our suppliers to accept the lower of the two prices. That is what we have done. That is the easy task. That is the low-hanging fruit. It's going to become more interesting when it's now about, in 2018, aligning the purchasing portfolios and trying to convince always the other side of the merits of the one article that the other is using. By bundling these volumes, we will go about even more purchasing synergies. It was very clear to me when we were looking at a cross-border hospital acquisition that purchasing synergies would exist, but I still felt that that wouldn't be good enough to qualify us as the best possible owner. And therefore, the jury is going to be out in 18 and 19, whether we will be able to learn from each other in terms of medical processes. Our new colleagues in Spain, for instance, have an average length of stay of a patient that is below 4 days, whereas we have a market-leading 6.5 days, but only market-leading for Germany. Yeah. So to cut that difference by learning from our Spanish colleagues about how much more efficiently a process can be constructed, that is when the real synergy benefits will come to us. That is also going to be the precondition for potentially entering a third country market. I would like to make sure that there is a proper also management presentation before we would replicate such a successful story. For the avoidance of doubt, Quirón Salud on a standalone basis is probably the most successful acquisition, and again, it's early days, but I can touch wood. As of now, it's probably the most successful acquisition we've ever done. Synergies would be the cream on top. If we can find more cross-border synergies, we would be fools not to try to replicate this in a third and fourth country market. As far as Fresenius Medical Care is concerned, again, I would encourage you to seek a conversation with Rhys Powell. But from the position of the chairman, from the position of the ultra long-term shareholder, we're very, very happy with the performance that the company has shown. We're very happy with the strategic initiatives that the company has embraced. Over and above the next stage acquisition that I was referring to earlier, this is very much going about coordinated care with a much more value-based reimbursement. Not all the expansion steps that we have gone about in the recent past have gone in line with our expectations, but the broad direction, that is absolutely the right one, and I will ask you to pay very close attention to the next steps that we're taking in terms of the coordinated care For the group as a whole, we will continue to be a large, diversified, and growing healthcare business. In line with our guidance for 2017, we will have reached absolute revenues in excess of $40 billion, around 38 billion euros. And our midterm target does foresee that we're going to reach 44 to 48 billion euros by 2020. The implied CAGR is in the high single digits. That is very well in line with our past experience. It does include small and medium-sized acquisitions that we have done over the years, but it is largely down to organic growth, where we do see ongoing organic growth potentials across our businesses. We have continued to finance our acquisition steps with debt, which in the meantime has reached close to 20 billion euros. For a business of our size, for a business of our stability, for a business of our diversification, that is by no means excessive. Over the years, even though we were accused of trying our utmost to avoid upgrades into investment-grade territory, we couldn't help but be upgraded right now to a triple B minus. However, just recently, we also received a positive outlook by Standard & Poor's. So I do not feel financially constrained as far as the further growth initiatives are concerned. For the near term, however, I'd rather take a breather, do proper integration of the major strategic initiatives that we have entered into late 16 and over the course of 17. And once they are properly integrated, then we'll take it from there and we'll seek more and even more ambitious growth initiatives. For 2017, we will report our full year results end of February. I'd be surprised if they created a surprise. We will then also shed some light on our expectations for 2018. The specifics will only be forthcoming then, but do count on us further continuing our growth story. Thank you very much for your attention so far. I'll be happy to answer your questions on the other side of the aisle, David, in the breakout room. Thank you very much.